Are your eyes fixed on Jesus today? Amen. We're just fixing our eyes on Jesus in this very moment. And I want to read a verse in Joel 2. It says, "The Lord utters his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, because strong and powerful is he who obediently carries out his word. For the day of the Lord is indeed great and very terrible. Who can endure it? Turn, even now, says the Lord, and come to me with all your heart, in genuine repentance, with fasting and weeping and mourning, until every barrier is removed and broken fellowship is restored. Rip your heart in pieces in sorrow, in contrition, and not your garments. Now return in repentance to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, faithful to his covenant with his people." Amen. And so we just want you to come before the presence of God right now. Olivia's going to go back into worship and we're going to sing this again. But we are God's people. We are his army. And he declares that we are great as we just turn ourselves to him. And we really have that heart of repentance, that broken heart that just wants him more and more, and putting our hope in him more and more and more each and every day, and fasting and praying. And in my own heart, I just want to pray more, and I want to fast more. And every day I pray, and I just want to find more time to pray, because I just want that revival to come. And I just pray that that revival spirit is in your heart today, and that God's spirit would come upon every family that is here watching. And it says that we would come back from broken fellowship. I mean, right now we are in a broken fellowship. The Bible says, "Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together." And I am so expectant of when we get to come back together. And I'm praying that families who thought it was okay to just stay home and stay home with your children, that God is going to put a fire within you and be like, "No, I'm not going to stay home. My children need to be in the presence of God. Would you please come back to a heart of repentance? Bring your family, bring your wives, men, bring your children to church. Now is the time. This is the day of the Lord. This is the day of the Lord's return. Would you please come back to him? Please repent. Turn your heart to God. Say, 'Move me like you move the mountains, Lord. By your Holy Spirit, move me and my family, and bring us back to a heart that is full of your Spirit.' In Jesus' name, amen."
Looks like to say, God, we are never alone. And man, I don't know where you're at in this, man. I don't know where you're at in this whole scene of this season that we're in. I don't. But I know this, that man, God has never left you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. That is a promise. That is a promise. And to know the same God who can move a mountain is the same God who can move in you in such a real way that will be our comforter. God is your comforter. Allow him to come in to your soul and to your spirit and to truly comfort you wherever you're at in this season. Because this is what I know. And I know that there is fear. And I know that there are people who are in a place of panic. And I know that there are people who are alone through this thing. Man, come on. But know this, man. The God of all power and might, he loves you. He created you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, and he knows you. Watch this, watch this. Allow him by his spirit to be your comforter. Come in to the word of God. Begin to study the Psalms and dive into the Psalms and know how much God loves you. Man, step towards him. In this moment right here, take a step towards him that you are reminded even today that you are never alone. You are never alone. And man, I just, wow, how about my wife today? Just incredible. Just such a great push and just a great mini word, honey. Thank you so much, man. Come on, it's so good. But I want to get into the word this morning. I'm so excited to preach today. I'm so excited to minister God's word to you that you would just come to a place to grab onto it, to hold onto it, and you come to a place to realize, man, come on, it's time to lean in. It's time to lean in this season. I'm hoping we're coming out of this season soon enough, but it's in this moment. It's in this moment that you don't quit. It's in a moment like this that you say, no, I'm gonna see through this thing, man. I'm not gonna quit. There's no quitting me. I'm not laying it down, man. Come on, I'm walking in this place that God is doing this purification within my soul, that there is this purifying element that's taking place within me, that I will not be the same at the end of this thing, man. I'm going to walk in a place to be right with God. I'm going to walk in a place to have such a testimony of how God, by his Spirit, got me through this because of my faith and hope in Christ. Come on, this is where we're at today. Come on, this is where I want us to be in this season. Amen? Come on, so good. So good. Renee's just going to pray, and then we're gonna preach. Come on, girl. Amen.
Yes. Amen. We thank you, Lord, that you are merciful, Lord. Your loving kindness is just better than life. We thank you and praise you, Lord, that you just watch over your children, Lord God. You watch over every single person whose heart is turned towards you. And we just pray, Lord, that you will pour out your spirit on all flesh. Lord God, that our sons and daughters would just dream dreams and have visions, and our young men. And Lord, we pray that you would just pour out your spirit, Lord God, on Believers Chapel this morning. I just pray, God, that you would fill each and every person, Lord God, with your Holy Spirit, that we would please you, that we would do your will, Father. And we just thank you, Lord, that no eye has seen, no ear has heard the things that you are preparing even now for those who love you. And so we just set our hearts and our minds, our whole heart, our whole mind on you today, Lord God. We thank you for the word of the Lord that will come from Sean today, Lord. We thank you that his words would be like apples of gold and settings of silver, because that's such a beautiful thing, Lord God, and that's how your word is. It's a beautiful, alive, precious, precious thing, Lord God. And so we just thank you, Lord, that Sean's words would just be full of your spirit, that it would bring deliverance, it would bring repentance, it would bring salvation in the hearts of each and every one, Lord God. We pray that every person that hears this word today would be saved in the name of Jesus, that they would come to a full realization of what Jesus has done for them, died on the cross, rose again on the third day, that we might have life abundantly. differently, Lord God. And so we just thank you right now that you would anoint Sean, that as he speaks, Lord God, you would open blind eyes, you would open deaf ears, that all would hear, every nation, every place on earth, Lord God, would come to you, turn to you in repentance. And we just thank you, Lord, for you are our deliverer, you are our defender, and we just praise you, we give you glory, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, baby. Give me a smooch. Love you. Awesome. 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 How you feeling? You feeling good, KDG? Can you hang with me?
Sure can.
Right? Did you sleep good last night? No? Okay, but can you hang with me? Are you feeling strong? Your fingers are fury? You ready to go? I just want you to hang with me this morning, man. For some reason, I just want you to hang with me. Okay. Come on. Come on, BC. You ready? Are you ready? Come on, everyone. Come on. Somebody tell me I'm ready. I'm ready. Come on. I'm ready. Man, I want you to get this. Man, turn with me to two places. Man, we're going to Titus and Matthew 16. Titus chapter 2. Right? Titus chapter 2. 1st, 2nd Thessalonians. 1st, 2nd Timothy. Titus. You find the T's in the New Testament. It's the last T in the New Testament, right? And then go to Matthew. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Matthew, first book of the New Testament. And man, I just want to honestly have a conversation with you. Again, I love this because I'm trying to picture this as I'm having this conversation around your kitchen table, man. Wherever you're at, man, I want to have this conversation with you this morning, really in a season that we didn't ask for, but God's allowing it in this season. Let me ask you, here it is. In this season, what is God refining in you? What is God Almighty? What is he refining in you? Man, again, I've said it from the very beginning. I don't want to come out of this thing the same. I don't want to come out of this thing and look back and have regret to where my faith was, right? I don't want to have regret to where doubt took over, right? We've talked about this from the beginning, BC, that you come to a place, say, no, man, I was strong in this season, man. God cleansed me. God did a work in me that I became right with God in this season. I got saved in this season. I got delivered in this season. I got healed in this season. Man, my insecurities left in this season. Something supernatural took place within my spirit in this season. That's our hope. Man, and listen, I'm honored to be the pastor of Believer's Chapel, man. What an amazing assignment God has allowed me to be a part of, man. It's unbelievable. But in that, in pastoring you right here around your living room, in your living room, around your table, in your car, wherever you find yourself watching this, man, I want to lead you through this thing. Lead you through this thing. And I had some great thoughts just praying this week and even this morning, and just you come to this place that I'm not so concerned about you coming out of this thing strong. My heart as your pastor is you come out of this thing right. Please hear me. There's a huge difference from saying, man, I came out of this thing strong. But how long is that going to last? Legit, how long does that last to come out of this thing just strong? Because there'll be another thing to come take a hit. There'll be another season. There'll be another difficulty. There'll be something personal that just lessens that. No. Man, listen, I think sometimes when you're weak, it's in the best position, because when I am weak, it's God who makes me strong. Right? You got to get this, man, because my heart is this, as your pastor. It's not that you and I come out of this thing strong. It's that you and I come out of this thing right. And there's a huge difference from just being strong compared to being right. Man, I want to do everything I can to lead us through this season, right here, online, wherever you're at, whatever you're tuning into right now. I want you to tune into this, hear this. Man, it's not that you come out of this thing stronger, it's that you come out of this thing right. Man, my faith came in line. And man, there was an awakening within my spirit. Something took place that I did repent from sin. Amazing word from Renee this morning, that I did turn from my wicked ways. Man, I did cry out to God. My prayer life has never been better. That man, I'm walking in this place based off the blood of Jesus Christ. Man, there's been a change within me. There's been a shift in my spirit. That it's not that I feel like I'm getting stronger, but I'm walking again in this alignment that I'm right with God. Not based off of action, based off the blood of Jesus and his love for me. And watch this now, please hear this. BC, in my responsibility is to walk in a manner that is worthy of him. That's conduct, right? Yes, we can't do anything about our sin. Jesus Christ paid the penalty for sin on the cross by his blood, took the hit for you and I. But then it's a matter of me and you walking in a place as the children of God to say, God, I want to walk right with you. Man, I want to walk in a manner worthy of you because of all you've done for me. And Jesus, you are my king. And I take a knee and surrender to you. And I want to walk in a manner worthy of my king. Come on, man. What does that look like for you? And I want to pastor you and encourage you and build you and walk you through this season where there is something taking place within your soul that is truly just supernatural. That isn't just this temporary strength. Well, I feel stronger. Well, that's good until the next wave comes, right? But I want us to walk in a place to be right with God. I'm going to preach. I just, again, there's just been a lot in my heart in a sense of a true spiritual awakening for those, hear me now, please, wherever you're at in this, for those who have wandered from the truth. You knew truth. Maybe you grew up in truth. Maybe you grew up in a house that preached truth. Maybe you grew up in a house with an amazing mom and dad who followed hard after Christ, brought you to church, but then influence got involved or decision-making got involved, and you said you're going to do it your own way. And you're beginning to realize that your way is not his way, and it's the messed up way. This is my hope in this season. Watch this. This is my hope in this season that you come to a place that God by his Spirit is awakening you again to return. That you come to a place to find your spirit alive again in him. I mean, truly living, alive. That which was once dying is now coming alive again in him. And there truly is a spiritual awakening within you. Come on, this is where I'm at. Come on, I love this. Here we go. Are you ready? Are you ready? So many people online, man. Gordon Scott, bless you, my friend. I love this. I love being able to communicate through this and just seeing so many people. Rebecca, good morning, my friend. Come on, Angela, good morning. So many things happening. But we are in this series called Stay Focused. Right? We're in this series called Stay Focused because there's a lot of opportunities to be distracted right now. There's a lot of opportunities that you would find yourself distracted. You'd find yourself watching way too much news. They change their mind every day. Why are you watching so much news on something that can't get it right? They change their mind every day. It's a different news story. You can find yourself being distracted with the finances. You can find yourself being distracted with other people. You can find yourself, there's so many different avenues to get distracted. But I want to read real quick before I get to Titus, I want to read Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4:23 says this, watch over your heart. Guard your heart. Watch over, it's a military term of guard. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. And I think we're in a season right now that you need to stay focused and you need to guard your heart. You got to be very careful. Watch this, please, people. You got to be very careful on what you allow in your heart. You got to be very careful on what you're downloading right now. Guard your heart with a diligence. Proverbs 4:23, it says, with an intensity, very much on purpose, very much intentional. Very much in a real way, guard your heart with a diligence. Be real about this. Be intense about this thing. Military term, put a hedge around your heart. Man, be very careful on what you're downloading. Be very careful on what you're allowing yourself to be distracted by. Guard your heart with a diligence, for from it, from what? The heart flows the issues of life. Man, I want us to live. Man, I want us to walk in this place to be alive in Christ again. And you've got to be so careful on what you're downloading. I love this. When you are staying focused, you walk into place. No, no, no. I'm not putting that in. No, I'm not going to get distracted. No, I'm not going to watch that. No, I'm not going to read that. No, no, no. I'm going to walk into place to walk in a manner worthy of him. There's a shift taking place in my spirit that I come out of this thing more right. I come out of this thing in a better position. I position myself to walk in a place to honor my king by my faith to say, God, you saw me through. No doubt here. No fear here. No panic here. You walk in a place that God begins to deal with your shame, that God begins to deal with your insecurities. Can I just say this? I'm going to turn to Titus now, but I drive around and I pray and we see things that are happening and I see so many people. I've seen people just wear ridiculous masks, like they cover their whole selves in a mask. It's just, and I see people, and again, this is not thus saith the Lord. This is just something that was in my spirit as I drive and I pray over our city and over our people, and I just see people in these masks, and I'm just like, maybe, and they're all by themselves. You know, like, you can't give this thing to yourself, just so you know. Common sense. If you're walking all by yourself and you have a mask on, but this is what came to my heart. This is what came to my spirit is I think some people, please hear me, and maybe this is you, maybe not, but I think some people, please hear this, I think some people have really liked wearing a mask because of this. I think they hide themselves behind the mask. I think when they're wearing a mask, watch this is so real right now. I think when they're wearing a mask, they think they're hiding their shame, or they feel comfortable hiding behind something because of their insecurities, or because of their shame, or because of their guilt. And that's a way that they just kind of hide themselves. But the reality is this, you have a God who loves you desperately. That when you come to him on his terms, he has covered your shame and he has covered your guilt. The Bible says that there is no condemnation, there is no shame, there is no guilt, there is no judgment to those who are in Christ Jesus. I'm telling you, again, this was just something as I was praying that was just put in my spirit. And it's not thus saith the Lord. It is something that I just observe where people, I think they've got accustomed to like wearing their mask because they can hide behind it. And there is one who loves you desperately that took care of all of that. He took care of your shame. He took care of your guilt. He took care of your insecurities. He put himself on the cross for you. Come on, wherever you're at in this thing, walk in a place to say, God, I want to walk in a place to allow you to move in me in such a real way. Oh, come on. Now we just got to preach here. Here we go. Here's the actual message. Come on, Titus 2. If you're with me, come on. If you got your Bibles out, if you got your computer out, if you've got your phone out, man, we are on Facebook. We're on YouTube right now. I'm so excited to come to you live. I'm so excited to be here this morning. I miss you. We miss you. Our team misses you. We're doing the best we can with what we got. And I'm excited about the quality that we have, man. It's amazing. I'm so appreciative to our team. But we miss you, man. I know Gina and Brian, God bless you guys. I really miss you guys in the front row screaming at me. I love it when you talk back to me and encourage me and build me. I miss people walking through the doors, the parking lot that's full. I miss the kids yelling and screaming. I miss that. I love listening. Isn't it amazing? Watch this. Watch this, that everything could be different when we come back together. Like hearing the kids scream, it's going to sound more beautiful than ever. If they out-scream us, that would be amazing. I would love it when I'm preaching that they try to scream me down. That would be amazing. How much would we welcome the voices of Kingdom Kids again? To just yell and scream and hear them and be so amazed to hear kids in the church again. Come on, it's coming. It's coming, man. We're so excited for what's happening. We're so excited about what's ahead. But come on, I want to read this. Titus 2 says this. want to start writing in verse 11. And Titus is this amazing book. It's written by the Apostle Paul to one of his sons in the faith called Titus. And what a great name. That's just a fun name. That's a great dog name. Name your dog Titus. Like that, if I get another dog, I might name him Titus. That's just a great dog name. Titus, just a great dog name. It's amazing. If Addie Cobb is watching, Addie Cobb saved my dog's life last night. It was actually Olivia's dog, Oliver. Oliver, I think he was eating some chicken and some Chevettas and licking the grill, actually. Don't ask me how, but he was licking the grill. And he couldn't stop coughing and wheezing and huffing and puffing. If Addie, you're watching, thank you. She did some Heimlich crazy move, and it was amazing. It was beautiful. Addie, we love you. We're so thankful for you. And that's the true story. It was kind of cool. But you come to a place where Titus was one who traveled with Paul. He was on his third missionary journey with Paul, and Paul would encourage Titus and build him up in the faith. And then he left Titus at a place called Crete. And Crete was an absolute mess, man. Crete was an immoral place. It was a difficult place. And he's like, listen, I need you to start churches. And all through Crete, he started these local churches. And he gave them the instructions of putting men in place to oversee and lead these churches. So here, you've got the Apostle Paul. You've got his understudy in Titus. And finally, he trusted Titus so much. He said, listen, I need you to go to Crete, and I need you to start planting churches. And this is what I need for the men that oversee those churches, the pastors of those churches. And he gave them guidelines. And Crete was a messed up place. It was a messed up island. It's an island, and it was just immoral. They were greedy. They were self-centered. It was a place that they lived for themselves. And he entrusted Titus. He must have been someone very special to say, listen, I'm giving you an assignment. It's an ugly place, and they're very self-centered, and they really live for themselves, and I need you to go, and I need you to start planting churches there. So Titus accepts the assignment. And we find it here in chapter 2, and this is where I want to bounce on, and this is the Apostle Paul writing to Titus. He says this, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. And the grace of God, for by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Come on, we've got to know that. Maybe, just maybe in this season, there is this religiosity in you that is beginning to get kicked out. That you realize, I'm not a follower of Christ because of church. I'm not a follower of Christ because of rules, do's, and don'ts. I'm not a follower of Christ because of religion. I'm a follower of Christ because of his grace. For it is by grace you have been saved, not of yourself. There is nothing you can do good enough to earn the right to go to heaven. It was because we're so silly bad that Jesus Christ had to put himself on a cross for you and I. And it was God's grace that we are saved through our faith and through our belief in Jesus Christ. Come on, just maybe, this is my hope, just maybe in this season, that religious nature is getting bounced. And you've come to a place to accept the person and the relationship with Jesus Christ. Because here he is. He says, Titus, this is what they need to know. Titus, teach and preach this. Come on, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing, and that's through Christ, bringing salvation to all men. That's Jesus. Verse 12, instructing us. Here, stay focused. Here's where we get to stay focused. He's like, Titus, come on, instruct the people. Get them to stay focused. Come on, draw them back in. There's been so many distractions on Crete, the island of Crete. There's been so many distractions. Listen, the Bible says that Cretans were lazy. They were evil people. This is what the Bible says. And you come to a place, say, Titus, this is the deal. This is how you got to get them refocused. Here it's about Jesus and it's about grace, and you need to instruct him. Look at this. Instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteous, and godly in this present age. Right now, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. Come on, I love this. Man, this is something I'm hoping that you're just, come on, you you're just getting ready to go a little bit crazy in your living room. You get to bounce your car, whatever it is, whatever you need to do, hit the nitrous, come on, jump it a little bit, that you come to a place to know that he gave him for us to redeem us, watch this, from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, knowing I belong to him. I'm his. I am a son of God. I am a daughter of God. I belong to the Most High God. And you come to a place to say, yes, that's me. That's me. But he comes to a place, say, listen, instructing us to deny ungodliness, to deny worldly desires or passions. What happens when you come to a place to say, it's time, man, it's time. Now is the time to stay focused. Now is the time to understand what it means to deny self. That you make a decision to deny self. This is just simply self-denial. I mean, I'm not going to walk in a place of ungodliness. I'm not going to walk in a place of worldly desires and lustful passions. This is what this is speaking of. He's speaking directly to a people that lived for themselves in greed. I'm not going to walk in a place of ungodliness. I'm going to walk in a place of reverence. The opposite of ungodliness is godliness. And that means to walk in a place of this devotion and this dedication. This is what godliness means, to walk in a place to be devout, this walk in a place to be dedicated, this walk in a place to do what's right, to what God says is right, to walk in a place, watch this, to be so committed to him that I do it his way. I'm not going to walk in an ungodly way. I'm going to walk in such a place to be so reverent to him that it shows my loyalty and my commitment to him. This is what Titus is saying. Listen, deny ungodliness. Deny the worldly desires, the worldly passions, or the way of lust. Like, deny self. Deny self. And when you look to what that really means, you look to what Jesus said about you and I denying self. And I love this because we're in a season right now, there's been a lot of things denied. We're denied coming to church. You're denied walking out without a mask. There's a lot of things that you've been denied. You've been denied a haircut, right? You've been denied. There's a lot of things that you've been denied. What happens if this thing shifts to a place to say, no, it's time to deny myself? I want you to keep your finger in Titus. We'll be back to that. But turn over to Matthew, please. I want you to see Matthew 16. I want you to see Matthew 16. Man, I love this. So many people. So many people. I love it. Leanne Lickfield, you are on all the time. Gina Mansfield, God bless you, my friend. Tell my man Brian, I miss him. I miss him. John Northrop, good to see you. Dorothy, God bless you. She's always on. Bissell, you rock, girl. Come on. Debbie, you are on all the time, man. God bless you guys. Miss you guys. Come on, as you turn to Matthew 16. Come on, Francesca, good to see you. Tell Jay I love him. Come on. Amen. So much, so much, so much. Come on, Matthew 16 says this, and this is Jesus speaking. It's amazing. Matthew 16, 21. We'll start there. And from that time, he's speaking about the kingdom of heaven. And from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and raised up on the third day. Like, he begins to teach his 12 at the time. He begins to teach his 12. This is what's going to happen. We're going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be hated. I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be put to the cross. I'm going to die. But on the third day, I'm going to be raised again. And he spoke this message to them, we see, at least three times that we know of, that were written down, at least. And yet they still didn't get it. And then here we see Peter. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke Jesus. Like, that's just crazy. What is wrong with you, Peter? Last week, you were the hero in the message. And then this week, you're the knucklehead. Like, Peter, Jesus just spoke something. And you, watch this. This is clutch, man. This is key. Don't miss this. Hear this. Lean in. Peter, you thinking about yourself. You thinking about yourself. You thinking about Jesus is coming, Jesus is going to be king, we got a seat at the table, this is amazing. And then all of a sudden, Jesus begins to speak about what it means that he's going to be dead. And Peter's like, oh, come on, that's not a part of my plan. Hey, Peter, it's not about you. It's not about your plan. It's not about you being about yourself. And then Peter, it's crazy where Peter pulls Jesus aside. And you can imagine the other disciples going, what are you doing? Oh, no. Oh, here he goes again. What are you doing? And he begins to rebuke. And the word rebuke, it means to correct. He begins to correct Jesus. Like, those words shouldn't even go in the same sentence. I'm going to correct Jesus. Like, that doesn't even make sense. It's impossible to correct the one who's perfect. But yet, Jesus, in a mindset of self, wants to rebuke or correct Jesus. And I'm just guessing. John is there and Matthew's there, and they're just looking at this going, dude, here he goes. Look at him go. Look at, oh, no, Peter, what are you? Oh, dude, he just rebuked Jesus. Dude, there were a bunch of dudes. I'm sure they had a blast together, right? When I get together with my friends, it's amazing the things that are said. It's incredible. It's so much fun picking on each other. And I'm sure they were like, Peter, that was the dumbest thing. What was wrong with you? You knucklehead. Like, they're a bunch of dudes, just like dudes today. Guess what? Don't over-spiritualize these guys. They were just a bunch of dudes. Come on. Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. This shall never happen to you. Come on, Peter. And here we go, here we go, here we go. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Ha! I'm sure they never let that one go. Do you remember that time when Jesus called you Satan? Hey, Peter, do you remember that time? Like, how many times could they say that, right? Get behind me, Satan. For you are a stumbling block to me, for you are not... Watch this. For you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's. You are thinking about you. Get your head out of you. Get your head out of self. Please hear this, BC. Please hear this. Get your head out of yourself. Wherever you're at in this season, you come to a place to say, it's time. It's time for self-denial. It's time for me not to think about me. Watch what Jesus says. For you are not setting your mind at God's interest. Colossians 3:2, set your mind on things above. Colossians 3:2, set your mind on things above where Christ is and not on the things of the earth. Set your mind. Come on, BC, where do you set your mind? I'm calling us to stay focused. I'm calling us to stay focused, not even on us. I'm calling us to stay focused, not even on you. Stay focused on him. God, that you would use this season to purify me. God, reveal things in me. God, just as silver is refined, refine me in this season. God, that you would do a work in me. My focus is not on me, for my focus is on you. Set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. Focus. Come on, BC, focus. Here we go. And then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, here it is, he must deny himself. He must deny himself. I love this. He must deny himself. And the word deny, it means to utterly deny. It means to reject self. I love this. He must deny himself. He must utterly deny. He must reject. He must disown. He must abstain from. I love where Jesus is making this thing so clear. Peter, stop making this thing about you. You're seeing it through your eyes, Peter. No, man, if you're going to follow after me, you need to get into this self-denial, man. You need to get in this place to deny yourself. You need to come in this place to abandon yourself. You need to come in this place to disown yourself. You need to come in this place to abstain from self. Watch this. He must deny himself, take up his cross, take up his cross. And listen, this was obviously before the crucifixion, but the crucifixion was normal. So when he mentioned cross, cross means death. It was a symbol of death. And this is what he's saying. Listen, you need to pick up the cross. This is being all in. I'm all in. I love this. This is a season as the church, not Believer's Chapel, but this is a season that the church can be all in. The church can come to this place to be refined. The church can come to this place to repent. The church can come to this place to deny themselves and pick up a symbol of death to say, Lord, I will die for you. I'm so strong in my belief. What happens when Jesus said, listen, if you're going to follow me, you have to be willing to pick up the cross. And the cross was the symbol of death. This is so real. This is so real. What it means to honestly stop looking at yourself. Because what happens when a season like this, all you do is download self, you're downloading self, man, that causes concern, that causes anxiety, that causes fear, that causes stress, that causes panic, because you yourself, you can't do anything about this season. But when you come to a place to say, no, I'm actually going to deny myself, I'm going to pick up my cross, my surrender, and I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to follow Jesus. Come on, everybody just say, come on, deny self and follow Jesus. Deny self and follow Jesus. Come on, let me see it. Let me see it. Let me see it. Come on, deny self and follow Jesus. Here we go. Here we go. Verse 25, whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Isn't that amazing? Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. Again, this is so clear on Jesus saying it's time to deny self. But if you lose your life for my sake, you find real life. That's what he's saying. For what does it profit if a man gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? And what will man give in exchange for his soul? What happens when you come to a place, you work, 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 you're so, you work, you work, you've got this great life, you work, you're going to come out of this thing so strong, you're going to come out of this thing so strong, and you work, you work, you work, finances are great, and then you continue in this pattern, say, but Jesus said, listen, 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 what does it profit for you to do that? You've gained everything, but you have sacrificed your soul, which is your eternity. What's the point? Church, please hear this. Man, the devil will deceive and the devil will lie to you. He will get you to gain such temporary gain, and you will gain and you will gain and you will gain and you will gain, and you could come out the most financial prosperous that you've ever had, and you can gain this whole world, and you just think that's just okay, and you think that's life. Listen, the enemy will lie to you. Jesus is like, listen, listen, you can gain everything, but you're giving up your soul. What happens when you come to a place? Say it's time to lose self and gain Jesus. And in, watch this. In gaining Jesus, I gain everything. I gain peace. How much is peace worth? I gain joy. In the midst of chaos and crazy, I can have this stirring within inside of me that the joy of the Lord is my strength. In the biggest picture is I gain salvation, man. I gain eternal life. Come on back to Titus, please. A couple more minutes, please. I want you to get this back to Titus. Back to Titus. Here we go. Here we go. Come on. He says this, instructing us. Stay focused. Come on, stay focused. Instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires. But he instructs us to what? Instructs us to live sensibly. I love this word sensibly. It has the root word of sense, which means common. Common sense. And it has this huge depth of meaning of being sober-minded. Walking in a place to be sober, and sober means without being clouded. Right? Walking, and again, he's dealing with a very immoral place. I mean, he's dealing with people just living for themselves. Right? He's walking in a place, hear this, please. Walking in a place, say, listen, you need to be sensible. You need to be sober-minded. You can't have contaminants come in to cloud your judgment. That's what, I love this. This is what Paul is writing to Titus. Listen, this is where it's at. Titus, come on, encourage the people. Instructing us, instruct people to live sober. Sober-minded. Not allowing clouds to come in to your thinker. That would cloud your thinking. That would cloud your judgment. What is it that you're downloading that you can even say, man, this thing's been a little fuzzy. What happens? Watch this, BC, what happens? Come on, get this. That you're so strong in your faith, and then all of a sudden, there's been this drift. And everything now becomes fuzzy. You've contaminated your spirit. You've clouded your judgment. You've clouded your heart. You can't see Scripture right. I'm asking this in the name of Jesus, that would change. That even today you would come to a place, say it's time, whatever, maybe whatever influence that is, evil company will corrupt good character. Evil company will corrupt good character. Come on, please, real quick. This is just, we're flying now. Come on, 1 Corinthians 15, please. 1 Corinthians 15, please. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians. Come on, we'll get back to Titus. I got a couple minutes here. Come on, I wanted to be done early in time for you, but that's not going to happen. Come on, 1 Corinthians 15. Here we go. Watch this. 1 Corinthians 13, 33. I want you to see this. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good character. Watch this. Watch verse 34, right? I want you to see this. Watch verse 34. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good morals or good character. What is your influence? Your influence will cause you to be cloudy. Who you listen to matters. If you're listening to the voice of the world, or you've got an influence of a worldly influence, that is going to cloud you. God says, listen, pay attention. Pay attention. Do not be deceived. Do not be misled. Have common sense. Don't be misled. Walk in a place to be of a sober mind. Watch what verse 34, here's the kicker. Verse 34, become sober minded. Ha! Ha! I love that. Right after verse 33, saying, listen, the influence that you allow in is going to corrupt you. And then he says, listen. You need to have a mindset that is clear of contamination. Be sober-minded. I love that. As you ought, and stop sinning. For some have no knowledge of God. And this I speak to your shame. Look at what Paul says to the church at Corinth. He says, listen. Stop being influenced by the wrong influence. Do not be deceived. Good character is corrupted, man. It's corrupted by bad people and bad influence. Be sober-minded. Be sober-minded. Man, there's so much more to preach. I'm running out of time. Come on, BC, with me. Here we go. Come on, and to live sensibly. I guess if there's any influence that you know of by people, by television in this season, that you come out of this thing with that all cleared up and gone. You be very careful. Because, man, I'm asking this, man. I want God to move in such a way that those who have began to drift in this season will be awakened. That they begin to ditch the evil company. They begin to ditch the stupid TV things that are just disrupting their spirit. They begin to ditch the things online that are disrupting their spirit. That they would come back to a place that their spirit will be awakened. And they come to a place to say, God, you are refining me in this season. Let there be amazing good coming from this. Watch this. Lizzie says, instructing us to live righteously and godly. Righteously, it means to be right according to God says is right. I love it because he's talking to some messed up people. He's talking to a messed up region. Listen, it's time to live right according to what God says is right. We hit that hard last week, man. Touched on that hard last week. To do what God says is right and not man. And I love it. It's woven all through Scripture, man. It's our conduct matters. BC, your conduct matters. In this season, your conduct matters. After this season, your conduct matters. Tomorrow, your conduct matters. He calls us to live sensibly. He calls us to live righteously. He calls us to live godly. As we already spoke about, it is that sense of this reverence before God. It is the sense of duty. It is the sense of responsibility. It is the sense of loyalty. It is the sense of commitment. We're to live godly. We're to live committed. We're to live loyal. We're to live devoted. This is where he's at. Come on. I don't want to come out of this thing stronger. I want to come out of this thing right. This is where we're at today. Come on, BC. Here we go. Watch this. Watch this. And he says this: to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age, right here, right now, today, in this present age, now, right today, that you walk in a place. Say, God, I need to be clear-minded. I can't let any contaminants in that's going to cloud my judgment. God, I can't let any influence in that's going to cause me to shift and be fuzzy. God, I need to walk right with you. I know what you say is right. God, I need to have this committed reverence to you, to be loyal to you today, right now. Watch this. Verse 13. We'll get into this next week. I don't have time today. But this is a whole message in itself, so I'm glad we're going to wait for next week. We're going to finish Titus 2, 13, 14 next week. But I just want to read it and just kind of touch on it. I didn't have time to finish it today. We will pick this up next week. 13 and 14. Looking for the blessed hope. Looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Looking for. Are you looking for Jesus' return? Man, stay focused. Don't lose focus. Jesus is going to return. It's an absolute guaranteed promise. Jesus is coming back, and you and I are called to look for his return. Look for it. Be ready for it. Man, I don't know where you're at in this. I don't know if you think it's pre-trip, mid-trip, post-trip. Not going to get into any of that. This is what I know. This is what the Bible says. He says he's coming, and you and I are to be ready. He's coming, and we're to be looking for his return. Come on, what happens when he's talking about conduct? He's talking about living in a certain way, and at the next verse, he says live in a certain way because guess what? You're supposed to be looking for his return. Jesus Christ is coming back, BC. And are you looking for his return? Come on, don't lose sight of that. Don't get distracted from that. Stay focused on that. Jesus is returning. And are you looking for his return? Does your conduct merit one who say Jesus could come back today? That's next week. We'll preach on that. Our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people. I love this. To purify for himself a people. And again, man, the word purify, just again, reading through this whole week, just reading it and reading it and reading it, and then coming to a place that in my spirit, I think these masks are a certain way for people to hide from their insecurities, people to hide from their shame, people to hide from their guilt. And here, we see right here that it is through Christ that we have been purified. And the word purify, it means to cleanse us from all contaminants. It means to cleanse us from our shame. It means to cleanse us from our guilt. That's what purify means. For a people, for his own possession. Come on, we're going to cover 13 and 14 next week. But man, if you would just close your eyes just for a moment as we pray, we're going to lead into a song. If you would just close your eyes just for a moment. Just bow your heads wherever you're at. Maybe you want to get down to your knees. Maybe you want to hold hands as a family. Man, maybe you want to circle up and whatever, the husbands and wives, you guys are holding hands. You're holding hands with the kids. You're in a circle. You're on your face. Wherever you're at, if you're alone, your hands are up high right now. You're on your knees. I just have this picture in my mind, this true picture of what's happening in your home right now, what's happening where you're on your face. You're happening if you're alone, your hands are in the air with your eyes closed. If you're home with a family or a husband and wife, man, you're holding hands, and as a family, you're holding hands. You come to this place, eyes closed in this moment, right here, right now. Man, if you don't know Christ as Lord and Savior, man, I beg you today, come to Him. Admit your sin. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that Jesus Christ is the only way. And confess that He is Lord. It's simple as ABC. Admit your sin. In this moment, come to a place to say, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. For all have sinned and fall short. And I admit my shortcomings. I admit there's no way I'm good enough. I admit there's nothing I can do. I admit my sin to You has separated me from You. And I believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God, put Himself on a cross as the only way to salvation. I believe Jesus is the way. And in this moment right now, I confess that You are Lord of my life. I surrender in this moment. Watch this. In this moment, I deny myself. I confess that You are my Lord. A, B, C. If you come to this place, to say, Sean, I've known Christ. Come on, heads bowed. You've come to this place to say, Sean, I've known Christ. But man, I've allowed myself to be clouded. I've allowed fogs to come in. I've allowed to be foggy. I've allowed the influence. I've kind of lost focus. It's time in this moment that if I could just pray for you wherever you're at, hands up, say, this is me. God, I want to walk in a place of self-denial. I want to deny myself again. And in this moment, I return. In this moment, I return. Wherever we're at, husbands returning right now. Teenagers returning right now. Wives coming to this place to say, it's time to come back to Christ again. I'm returning to follow my husband. My husband, I get this. Come on, I get this. My husband has been just so strong in this season. He's been trying to lead us through the season. And I've been the one who's rebelling. It's time for wives to return. It's time for wives to come back to this place. And I will follow hard after Jesus. I will follow hard after Christ. Man, I will follow my husband to Jesus Christ. I will follow my husband in a home that represents the being truly a follower of Christ. And we will lead our kids, teenagers in this moment, saying it's time to return. It's time to return. Come to this place. Say, God, in this season, I don't want to come out of this thing strong. I want to come out of this thing right. I want to come out of this thing right. I want to come out of this thing right. Lord, hear us in this moment. Hear every household in this moment. Hear every husband, every wife, every teenager, God, every single person, everyone who's all alone right now, God, that You would hear them in this moment. I want to come out of this thing right. In Jesus' name. Come on, amen.